Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Get the Table, another wrestling roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick. And, sir, we are gathered. We are socially distanced here today to talk about whether AEW's women's division is officially good now. And that is, of course, off the back of this week's brutal lights out match between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Sid, you've had a few days to drink it in, that image of Britt Baker and her hair and face and entire body covered in blood is going to stay with me for a long time. But having had time to reflect on it, what do you reckon?
Stunning. Stunning. Her eyeballs, right? The whites of her eyes were stained with blood. Like, absolutely incredible commitment to something that never felt like they were reaching towards. That's the key thing. It didn't feel like they'd put every single woman on that stage and had a man literally give them flowers, with the visual implication being, look at what this man has done. Hmm. What Dr. Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa did was they worked a program that didn't get enough television time, in my opinion, to fully flesh out. We were mostly left to infer that, yes, Thunder Rosa came in as an NWA wrestler to the AEW women's division in a development that Britt Baker found disgraceful, because they already had a women's division of which she was the face, and she wanted to run Thunder Rosa's out of town. Some of the dialogue, I felt, obscured the messaging of that, like, really decent, sporting, proper wrestling story that, mm-hmm. like, wrestling is territorial, even like years and years and years after the territorial system collapsed. We've seen that replaced almost by tribalism, where it used to be a big, strongly felt territory feeling that your local was the best. And all these things you might have seen syndicated from up north were just cartoonish, like our wrestling was real. Like, that's still earnestly felt. And I think like they could have genuinely explored that more. Mm-hmm. In the Thunder Rosa Britt Baker story, instead of reverting to quite high school sitcom-esque written material about face breaking the camera. That was a little bit too gender specific, as booked by men. Mm-hmm. That's the prevailing feeling I got out of it. But nonetheless, what happened is that Britt Baker's drawing power matched with the fact that Thunder Rosa was getting loads and loads of critical acclaim and raves for her performances. Every single bit of verbal dialogue that I didn't like was totally and utterly equalized by how great their physical chemistry was. Yeah. They decided, like, they are so good at working an atmosphere of animosity, and we've built this for so long that the only real battleground to pay off is in this unsanctioned lights out match that has become an AEW hallmark stipulation. And I just thought they completely and utterly lived up to it. Some might say that they transcended that which the men had already done with that stipulation. Mm. Kenny Omega and Joey Janela, they've done it four. Apparently three is being trotted about. They've actually done four lights out matches, including Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. The first was Janela versus Moxley at Fighter Fest 2019, which, while it was a cracking plunder brawl, and there was one spot where Joey Janela put his feet on thumbtacks. That was disgusting. That was like proper creative. So we've all got husks as older wrestling fans who've seen this kind of genre for years and years. But the feet thing and the thumbtacks was great. Moxley and Omega was way more worked than I could scarcely believe the reaction to. And I thought it was really excellent. Omega and Janela built that match at Full Gear. And that was sick in the way that Kenny Omega is so goddamn inventive in the ring. Like, I've never seen the underside of a table used. And it just works so much better because you've got that metal bit of the legs strapped down to the table where you think if they land just a centimeter off, you could get that metal edge like right in the back of your head. And there was like a snap dragged into a ladder. Like, they've all been brutal in their own in like distinct ways. But this, it possibly transcended everything that the men had done before, because this is just more of a visceral feeling, like the head rattling off that Death Valley driver on a ladder, just the sense of violence. I'd said it on the review podcast, but goddamn, those forearms in Thunder Rosa's cheek felt like, right, you're not just getting to the next spot, organically or otherwise. What you're doing here is cultivating a tone that you hate this person and you want to inflict like appalling violence upon them to beat them. An absolutely stunning, visceral experience, unforgettable, really stunningly crafted, but not in a way that you could admire it, like from afar, like, oh, I really like the way they put that together, because it was so immersive and so laden with hatred. So, yeah, it definitely felt like the culmination of an organic development rather than an imposed, look what we probably should have done by now type of match.
Yeah, you talk about the legacy of like lights out matches, and he used a great phrase on the review on Thursday. I think you described it as video nasties, and the only one aside from like for research for lists or for videos that we've done, the only one I've actively gone back and watched again in my spare time, because I thought it was just absolutely sensational. As you say, it's the best AEW women's match they've ever had, in my opinion. I saw some people saying it's a contender for the best women's match ever. I will leave that debate for another day. But
in
I want
North
to sort
America,
of,
in North yeah, America, I'll say of, that much. It was as good of a match I've seen in women's wrestling in North America. I still think the first Sasha Bailey from Brooklyn edges it. Like, that was just, it's a fool's errand disagreeing with another man's opinion. Hence why you should all leave me alone on Twitter. But I couldn't believe Dave didn't go the full five for that one back in 2015. But my God, this was up there with the very best. In North America, people should watch All Japan's pro wrestling. And on the back of matches like this, I hope they do.
Yeah. What I was going to say off the back of that was, we talk about this quite a lot, and it sounds like a sort of victim position to be taken. But I think it's fair. I like to think of myself as an impartial observer of WWE, of AEW for general wrestling. But I think it's fair to say that for more so than almost any other promotion, the knives are perpetually out for AEW. For when they make a mistake, people jump all over it. People jumped all over the botch at the end of Revolution and were basically saying, well, that's them done, effectively wanting to write them off almost. And I think it's twice as bad for the women, especially when they got, you know, built up. They held off on giving them a main event on Dynamite for so long. And then, as you said, because this was taped, Tony Khan and a lot of other people were like, you need to watch out for this. And obviously it makes a lot of sense in hindsight why people were saying that. But yeah, it's a position where a lot of people, it's been the easy stick to beat AEW with is, well, the AEW women's division is the chink in the armor sort of thing for them. So is this for you more so than anything they've done, like the tournament that they had in the preamble to all this? Does this for you draw a line under that criticism now?
I would say so. For me personally, I would be at this point disappointed if they don't take this momentum and use it to inform a deeper, more visible platform For the AEW women's division. I would like to see over the next weeks and months, not immediately, but I would really like to see this act as a platform for some gains of real substance. I'm talking two or more women's matches per week on Dynamite, on pay-per-view, and more promo segments. I don't know why you wouldn't put a microphone in Britt Baker's mouth to explicitly promote this match in a backstage segment. I mean, we get enough. We get great promos on Dynamite, but to be honest, we get some passable ones as well. Why not put a great promo in Britt Baker? So there are still little moments here and there, and it's not so much what they do at this point, it's what they're not doing that make me a little bit cautious about to really draw the line under that table and say, look, it's happening now. But you've got your main event show. But I would never say that. They still need to substantiate all of this hype and they need to direct it into a more meaningful picture. But it's not just, oh, well, they've put a, you know, put a women's match on Dynamite and they did that tournament, so it's getting really good. This has been happening for quite some time. And here's the thing. In 2020, it literally couldn't happen. They didn't have enough of the great Joshi talent that are like incredibly experienced. If you look at someone like Riho, she's like more experienced realistically, even though she's only 23, I believe, than so many wrestlers working in the United States because she's been doing this since she was 13. They didn't have access to their most marketable, over and experienced talent throughout all of 2020. The idea that Kenny Omega had, and it was a genius one, and hopefully as the months go on and there's an end in sight, this idea can finally be realized, is that he wanted the Joshis to be like the WCW Cruiserweights, where in an entire country hadn't seen this style, which in itself incorporates like sub-styles. Like there's a huge difference, for example, between Aja Kong's work and that of Yuka Sakazaki's. But, you know, under an umbrella term, Joshi Wrestling has the potential to like really, really excite and thrill people. Already, Yuka Sakazaki is a cult favorite among AEW fans. Riho, when she was around in AEW before she had to go home as a result of the pandemic, she was already like a big draw amongst the younger sought-after demographic. So I can totally understand why 2020 AEW did put the women's division on the back burner. That might prove a controversial opinion to some who really believe in the power of representation, but what you're doing potentially is stigmatizing these women. And as you said, the knives are out for AEW more so than any other promotion. It's just the name of the game when you're the hottest in town. And the fact is, a lot of these women could have been stigmatized by the wider wrestling fandom as not being particularly good. That might have absolutely shattered their confidence. And if you think these are bad takes, they are literally, they have been echoed by Britt Baker in the past. She said a lot of them thrown into the deep end, having never worked TV before. There's a regimented style, like the time cues are far more significant. It's an entire new environment to work in. It's not just pressurized, but it's in terms of locating cameras and trying to work cameras and trying to get over on TV. It's like an incredibly steep challenge for any performer, much less a female one. Emerging from a North American independent scene that I've said time and time again is institutionally sexist, and half of the promoters over there would only sell a women's match on a ticket if there was a guy on the other side of the match graphic allowing for an intergender match. And the fact, stark fact of the matter is, I don't know whether people are saying this in whatever kind of faith or if they're not that discerning, but ultimately, I'm trying to phrase this in a way that appears sensitive but still accurate and realistic. There weren't enough TV ready, polished, experienced women throughout 2020 for them to go for this now or go for it then. But the key difference now is my position has totally changed, and trust me, I will bury this division if they fail to capitalize on all of this momentum, because what a waste it would be, what a shame it would be. They are in the position now. So to answer your question in possibly the longest way possible, I would say I would pencil in the official and I will ink it in 3 months' time, because that's the true test. That's the true test. They've put on in 2021, the AEW Women's Division, and yes, I will include the sacred cow that is the NXT women's division in this discussion. They've put on the best women's wrestling in North America in this year of 2021. I mean, I'm not being, what more can you do than that? Mm. It's like, who was it? Oh, what's his name? Like, really famous American broadcaster who asked Jerry Seinfeld if Seinfeld had been cancelled. Is it Larry King?
Possibly.
He was out number one. I chose to leave number ones. It's a far way away from being cancelled. It's I've got the same voice, it's the same inflection as Seinfeld here. They're number one. What more do you want them to do? I mean, it's better than being last. It's a bit of a difference. They've put on the best women's wrestling in 2021. I would say by orders of magnitude. I think a lot of the key NXT women's division matches they've promoted this year, the triple threat, a takeover, was a dead rubber, trope-laden, cliche-laden triple threat. Like, well, worked for what it was, but what it was is a bad format that's been exposed and fails to suspend my disbelief personally. Shirai versus Storm was good. I think didn't Rhea Ripley and Gonzalez have a last man standing blow off? That was good, but wasn't anywhere near as good as that lights out match. No. So at this point in time, how can it be bad? And I know WWE's curve is what it is these days, but not the women of NXT. You can't bury that curve. It's the best women's wrestling in North America at the moment. Kind of has to be officially good now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You sort of answered it in your answer there.
I'll talk again.
But in terms of, yeah, in terms of showcase the women more on Dynamite, I know we've had matches and segments on Dark of thinking like Britt Baker's Waiting Room, etc., etc. More of that on Dynamite going forward, because like you say, the roster is now large enough that it's not just we talk almost on a weekly basis whenever we're previewing it, and I do enjoy the fact that they just hoy a load of matches on and you've got lots of things in a variety and a buffet to look forward to, like we always say. But the amount of times that we talk about like a big 5-on-5 match and we go, yeah, it'll be good, be fine, do you think then those sort of spots could potentially be given to singles matches, tag matches, whatever it may be, with the women going forward, more showcasing of this ever developing roster?
Yes, in order for this to develop further, and this is why, again, I can't quite have the heart to put in the pen, it's official.
Yeah.
It's good now, right? It's officially good to very good. The problem that remains with AEW's women's division is that it's not yet elite, right? It's not yet at the very, very top end in terms of, I mean, that match was, right? But broadly, it's not yet at that level of total parity. And it's not just TV time, but it's the role and it's the attention paid to the storylines. If you ask me about next steps, I want to see a stable of women. I want to see a stable of women.
Which we saw got hinted at Revolution.
It did, but then Makihito's gone. So it just felt like a temporary alliance and a fun one to build towards that match. And it's not really going to be a permanent thing because it can't, because Makihito's gone. I'm assuming Riho's over here, but I wouldn't put her in a stable. In fact, I would have a stable gang up on poor Riho, brutalize her, get the heat on Riho, and then she can go one by one, a la Moxley versus Jericho ahead of Revolution last year, and beat them all before they get to the gang boss. And that gang boss should be Britt Baker. Like, Britt Baker should at this point have proven to the rest of the women, right? She is, in fact, the baddest bitch on the block. She lost, but you can't deny that she's the baddest bitch on the block. She should lead a stable at this point. She should lead a stable at this point. Best way of getting her to that title is that they can be her burly protectors on the outside. Nyla Rose, I would put in that stable. Mm. Jade Cargill, potentially. And then the more, I say this all the time, have a stable dominated product. It is the easiest way of, unless you go, like New Japan does this, but they also do a lot of tournament heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. Tournaments and stables are the best means of spawning storylines.
Vince McMahon's despised.
Yeah, and nah. But that's just him, isn't it? Absolute moron that he is.
I was thinking on social media. I saw it on, I think it was on Sean Ross Sapp's Twitter the other day, about the wonderful appreciation backstage when the two of them, or the three of them, if you include Rebel, of course, walked back through that curtain. Who is it that, alongside the likes of Britt Baker, deserves the credit for this transformation of the women? I mean, you mentioned Nyla Rose there. I feel like she has been one of the few consistents. And I know I always sit here and say, yeah, take the women's title off Hikaru Shida, but she's been there performing consistently for AEW, and I don't want to bury her in all this.
Just before I answer that question, I'm just going to go further on that tangent, because I think there's a point to be made. If Britt Baker forms a stable, the ultimate goal of which is to secure her the AEW women's title, which has so far eluded her, right? Which is a storyline driver we've seen in the men's division over and over and over again. And then you put Jade Cargill and Nyla Rose together as the two, like, protectors and the two, like, muscle of that group. You instantly heighten the idea that, Jesus Christ, a Riho has a plight to get through, to get to Britt Baker in the end. You get TV matches out of that. And when that's been exhausted, I'm just looking at the Charlie Kelly spider web notice board at this point. You can have Cargill and Nyla Rose getting each other's way when they're trying to interfere. You can then have a monster match between Nyla Rose and Jade Cargill. You can have Layla Hirsch in this, at the expense of one of these women, and then you can do that match again. Or you can have Layla Hirsch and Riho team up together, like these two much smaller women with incredibly different skill sets going up against these giants in these matches of just immense stylistic range and these great dynamics where you don't think Hirsch and Riho have got a chance until Hirsch somehow suplexes Jade Cargill, which would be an amazing sight. How Riho, we've seen it before, somehow finds the strength to slide out and bridge out of a Nyla Rose pin. If you build these stables, and AEW should, because that's what they do in the men's division, the women's division needs parity to go and be as good as the men's division. Like, it just spawns storytelling. So until they commit to that, and the thing is, they need TV time to build these kinds of things. Will they give it to them after this? They absolutely should. But in terms of, sorry to answer the last question you asked, who is the deserves the credit? People aren't going to like me saying, oh, well, here's some men who deserve fame.
Yeah, I was going to say, two white guys spending half an hour to chat about the women's division and heaping praise.
Kenny Omega, great at helping them lay out these matches. Isn't he great at helping them lay out these matches? Look, again, if you read Dr. Britt Baker's press interviews that she was given to the likes of Sports Illustrated ahead of this match to build it with Thunder Rosa, she named three men specifically. And yes, I will talk about the women because it's all about the women. Kenny Omega has got a massive personal, emotional, vested interest in making the women's division a thing. He takes all of the criticism on board and he takes it personally, and he is determined. He's alluded, in fact, to not so much a power struggle, but he's alluded to him being not apoplectic, but quietly dismayed at the idea that the women don't get enough time. He's quietly campaigning for them to get way more time. And he's great as an agent. So he's been helping lay out these matches. So Britt Baker credited him. Jerry Lynn, as a producer, is also cited as a major influence in terms of lending his like great wrestling mind. He was also just again to not say, well, it's just the men laying out these matches. He laid out the parking lot brawl, Jerry Lynn. And how magnificent was that? Nice. So he's a good mind to have on board to do it. And Dustin Rhodes is there, by all accounts, one of the first guys in Daly's place. One of his first things that he wants to do is lead lessons in the ring with the women's division. He's becoming, as far as I understand it, the Fit Finlay of AEW. Oh, and wow. That Fit Finlay was the key agent in every single really good WWE women's match of the Divas era, where you thought, oh Christ, they should probably give them way more time because they can actually do it. Fit Finlay was the driving force behind that. And by all accounts, Dustin Rhodes is that exact voice and supporter and trainer of the women and agent as well. It was Hikaru Shida's idea to do the women's eliminator bracket in Japan and do the tournament itself. And what I love about that is that she used her own agency to turn around to the management team, the creative team, the committee, and say, this isn't good enough. My opponents haven't been well built enough by half. I've got an idea to really make quite a few women in this tournament and do something at last with my title reign to get it over. They listened to the pitch. They greenlit the pitch. We then got like a really good, under the circumstances, Japanese women's eliminator bracket, a really good women's match at Revolution. And then you got Nyla Rose reheated like within a matter of weeks over the course of the tournament. So she deserves an enormous amount of praise, not just for that, but for doing a goddamn level best with honestly kind of appalling builds, like not just apathetic, actively appalling. I remember we reviewed, I can't for the life of me, and I'll never remember the specific Dynamite on which this happened. But I remember Hikaru Shida was working a match with such and such in like 2 or 3 weeks' time. And I can't even remember the opponent because a lot of these feuds, because they've been so apathetically built, have been so forgettable. But goddamn, Alex Mahavez put the microphone in her face after answering a question. Are you ready for your next challenge? And then before Hikaru Shida had even finished a sentence, he went, right, okay, back to the men. Might as well have said. So Shida deserves a ton of credit for not taking it. It's the fact that she felt like she must have had to for a while is bad. Maybe the sign of an institutional problem that you can hope is slowly being corrected. But she deserves all the credit in the world for saying, you know what, this isn't good enough. Not good enough by half. If the idea in AEW is you are meant to tell this company what you believe you're capable of, that company signed you in the first place, believes you can't do this, and says, all right, okay, run with it. And she ran with it, and she created one of the most critically acclaimed storylines. Yeah. If you look at how everything sort of came together, all the factors converged, she deserves all the credit in the world for that. Dr. Britt Baker is a special talent, like a special, special talent. Great on the mic. Such a great understanding of her character and how she's evolved it to go from haha to something significantly more major league. As entertaining as that was, we raved about her work in 2020 on these podcasts, but it feels legitimately major league now.
Yeah.
I feel like her improvement, people talk about it, it's not a hot take, but like she had that match with Shida in the QT Marshall's gym. And I generally felt like she's improved by about a year in the span of 20 minutes. Mm. And she's gone through about 5 years worth of character development in one, considering how overtly comedic her role was in 2020 to this version, who's violent and nasty and legitimately is the baddest bitch on the block. What I love about her work in particular as well is like she's always setting traps for opponents to get into the lockjaw. Like she's a chess player of a pro wrestler now. When people said that she was just kind of a flimsy, weak-looking baby face whose strikes didn't really hit, like she's the complete opposite of that now. Mm. So Dr. Britt Baker is leading by example of how to get over in that system, but hopefully that system itself is now improving and recognizing the sheer talent they have in that women's division to become a better system in itself.
You've mentioned quite a few names there. I know your love for like Yuka Sakazaki as well, but who else do people need to look out for in this women's division as we go forward?
Ty Conti is ultimately the person I think, Jesus Christ, every time I see her, I remember she worked a match in NXT, like at the very start of the Wednesday Night War. And what an absolutely criminally dumb organization WWE are. Ty Conti was literally the first worker, the wrestler on NXT to win a demo against AEW. I don't know if people know that. She won a demo, the very first demo win ever against AEW. And they thought, all right, okay. Well, she's still not good enough, so we won't put her on TV anymore. Right, okay. Have you thought about why she's not good enough? Have you thought about the fact that it's a total bottleneck?
Mate, they put her in a grey t-shirt. I don't know what more you want from WWE.
Well, I know. But she's in a system that constantly recruits and recruits just generations of talent. And funnily enough, because none of them get the time to develop, they don't develop. Odd. So she was pissed off at her position. She realized, hang on, like, I'm a draw. I've got true drawing power here. What are you doing with me? So she was like, well, she wanted to leave. And then they wouldn't let her because they don't let anyone leave until the pandemic hits. And I thought, oh, we might not get record profits this year. So, all right, who's that one who wanted to leave? Sure, that's, be careful what you wish for, Conti. Right, you can go now. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. She did, in fact, get sacked. She did shore up in AEW. And honestly, her work alone, it like indicts a multi-million dollar training facility. It's quite unbelievable. That demo that I was talking about, the match that Ty Conti worked in, it was actively rubbish. Slow motion. Mm-hmm. Every strike looked weak. They looked like they were going through the rehearsals of the shows that they do ahead of NXT. What a completely condescending operation it is. But they do rehearsals before the shows. And it looked like she'd forgotten that she wasn't in the rehearsal and that she was just going move for move because they just train robots down there. Like she was going through the rehearsal. It was slow as anything. And I'm thinking, Christ almighty, she's a bit rubbish. And then she turns up in AEW, is leathering people in the back with kicks, is going through amazing judo transitions to like maximize that which she's really good at and integrating her martial arts background into her work and not just fitting her into a round hole as a square peg. And every single time she appears on Dark, she's kicking people harder. She's not hesitating. She's just everything. She looks more tight, more confident, more impactful. Her work's really creative, obviously owing to that legit MMA background. Like, I think in a year's time, there's a certain What Culture staffer who will go unnamed. I would never, ever talk about this kind of thing. But this What Culture staffer, and legitimately, it's not me. I'm not being a joke. I'm not going to name him, but is of the opinion that Ty Conti is like a really beautiful woman who, if you switch the channel over to watch, a lot of people would think, Jesus Christ, it's a very beautiful woman that. Oh, and hang on, she's absolutely fire in that ring. Mm-hmm. And this is a total star on their hands. And so to answer your question, she more than most, because there's a tier now. You've got your Bakers, you've got your Roses, you've got your Deebs, you've got your Rihos. I'd probably put Nyla Rose in there as well. Yeah. I was so impressed with her in the tournament. Underneath, you've got your promising but ultimately very raw talents that just need more reps. Of those, Conti is the one to break through.
Aside from as well, we should mention Anna Jay and just her unfortunate injury. That's a real shame.
Oh, Christ, no.
Right, one final question I wanted to ask you, because we've got a lot of this in the immediate aftermath of the Lights Out match about the future of women's wrestling. And what I mean by that is, you know, I saw some people saying, oh, they should put, you know, this should be the future of women's wrestling. Now, I'm not suggesting they should have unsanctioned bloody brawls every single week on AEW, it's overkill, or anywhere for that matter. But yeah,
on Raw, make it more interesting.
Yeah, but in terms of like the physicality of it all, do you think that's something that this another door that this potentially has opened up? I know I realize it's not like they just invented it, but it certainly opened a lot of people's eyes to the possibility of further changes for women's wrestling. Oh, long overdue for most people as well.
Yeah, I would agree to an extent. But ultimately, I'm not interested solely in women's matches across the board having more plunder inserted to them, more blood, more incredibly dangerous spots that you can realistically only do a certain amount of times in your career. Like that goddamn Death Valley driver, I'm obsessed with it. That will stay with me for a long, long time. Not more of that, but more of that, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
More of that kind of thing. Not just the violence, the parody that the violence embodied, right? I want to see Stables. I want to see Dr. Britt Baker in a feud. I would like to see more Britt Baker on my telly than Matt Hardy and Miro.
Yeah.
She's proven herself to be a draw. Every single time she's on TV, she gains numbers. She's a better promo than either of them, right? She's a better worker now than Matt Hardy is because of his age. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to pick on those two names in particular, but they are the ones that always seem to crop up when we're talking about men who aren't setting people on fire. They're not setting people alight. I think people are really nice and they goddamn should beat Matt Hardy because what he's doing at this age is to be commended. I'm not thrilled by it, but I can still commend it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot on Dynamite that is absolutely awesome. And there is still too much that just isn't hitting it. And I think, why can't the women replace that? So instead of going more full on with violence, and absolutely we should see it, I want to see women's ladder matches. I want to see a women's steel cage match. I think if you put, they've got the range now in that division where they could very easily book something like a steel cage match. If you imagine Nyla Rose or Jade Cargill in the Wardlow position in a steel cage, and goddamn Riho. And I don't, not cool, but I kind of want to see Riho get absolutely launched from one side of a cage to the other and have her skin pour through the chain link and get rubbed against it. But you know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see more violence for violence's sake. I want to see more violence if it represents parity. But crucially, I only want to see parity if it's earned. Don't want any token gestures. Ultimately, I get paid to do this, for which I feel forever privileged. But I don't want to be bored watching telly. And I don't want to feel like I'm being charitable when I watch it. Oh, this is good. Be even better in a few years, but it's quite good for now. I don't want that feeling.
Well, make sure you join me and Sidra. You just reminded me for the Raw preview tomorrow. I don't know why you reminded me of that with that final few sentences, but still, do join us on that and let us know your thoughts on this amazing development for the AEW Women's Division and the future of that and everyone who's been involved in it and your thoughts on that Lights Out match on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M. Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, of course, which include our previews and reviews of the Wednesday Night War each week. But for now, this has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.